done, or that there's no hope, or that hope is gone, or that there's no answer. But the name of Jesus silences the boast of the enemy. He silences the boast of sin and grave. He silences the boast of depression. He silences the boast of hopelessness, that there's a voice that comes from heaven that silences the voice of the enemy. And it's because of the cross. It's because of the resurrection of Jesus that lives on the inside of you. So if you're facing something today, if you're contending for someone in your life, if you're contending for a friend or a family member or for yourself, that you would raise up a shout today, that you would raise up your voice today to silence the boast of the enemy, that you would join your voice with heaven in declaring that Jesus, you reign, that Jesus, you are King, that Jesus, you are above every situation, every circumstance, that you are above every demonic force, that you are above sickness, you are above disease, you are above death itself. You silence the boast of death, Jesus. You silence the boast of death. When you rose from the grave, when you said it is finished, you knew that it was done. You knew it was accomplished. You knew that nothing could stand between us. When you tore that veil, you tore the veil between heaven and earth so that we wouldn't live a life that's relegated to what man says. We wouldn't live a life that's relegated to what we think is possible, because you said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, your very name, Emmanuel, you said, I am with you, I am for you, I am on your side, and with God, all things are possible. So let's raise up a shout today, let's raise up our voice today and say, God, with you, Jesus, because of you, Jesus, because of what you did, we are eternally grateful. We are eternally thankful. God, what else can we say but thank you? Let us raise up a shout today and say, Jesus, you silence the boast of the enemy. You silence the boast of the enemy. You silence the boast of sin and grave. Let's just raise up a shout this morning and say, Jesus, Jesus. You are the God of the breakthrough. That means that there's something to break through. It doesn't mean that it's necessarily easy. It means that there's something to break through. But you are the one. You are the God of the breakthrough. Because you broke through that grave. You broke through those grave clothes. You broke through that stupid rock that they thought could hold you. But it could not. Nothing could hold you. Not all the power of the enemy. You have no rival, this song says. Nothing even comes close to you, Jesus. Death could not hold you. A veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring. Praise of your glory.
Higher Lord, you're perfect in all of your ways. You're a good, good Father. You know what we need before we even ask. Oh, Lord, what a privilege, what an honor to be loved by you. What a privilege, what an honor to be known by you. What a privilege, what an honor to be drawn by your love, to be drawn by you into the cleft of the rock, to be hidden under the shadow of your wings. What a privilege and an honor to just receive you, receive your love. We can't even love you without you loving us first and drawing us into that love. What an honor, Lord. What an honor, Lord, that you know everything about us, everything that we need, everything that's good for us, because you're so good to us. And there is nothing in you but good, because you are good. You are really good. We thank you, Lord, for the unspeakable joy in our hearts this morning. We thank you, Father, that anything that counters against or tries to counter against the true joy of resting in you and knowing you will be removed, will be put to the side, because your love invades us. Your love surrounds us. Your love is all we need. We thank you, Lord, that you are the releaser, the giver, the author and sustainer of love. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you are the God of the impossible. You are the God of breakthrough. We thank you for the breaker anointing this morning. We thank you for the breakthroughs today. We thank you, Lord, that chains have fallen off of so many in so many places. We thank you, Lord, that we can give you the credit and the glory, because none belongs to man. We thank you, Lord, we just lift up your name. And we lift up your purposes. We lift up your plans. We lift up your heart. We lift up you. We lift you higher and higher and higher and higher today. Thank you, Lord, that you're Lord of all. You're Lord of our minds. You're Lord of our emotions. You're Lord of our hearts. You're Lord of our wills. God, you're Lord of our bodies. There's nothing that escapes your hand. What a privilege to praise your holy name. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for the cleansing. Thank you for the wholeness. Thank you, Lord, that there's no fear in you, no fear in love. You're perfect, mature, unadulterated love casts out all fear and removes all fear. Thank you for new hope this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the humility that you're birthing in each one of our hearts, Lord, as we sail the wide open seas of your love. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, rise up inside of each one of us this morning. Thank you, Holy One. Just rise up. Touch our little ones this morning, Lord, as they are touched deeply by you. Thank you, Lord. Grab their hearts in places that no man can, because you're the author and finisher of their faith. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the release of your love and your purposes, God. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Open up the windows of heaven, Holy One, even greater and wider inside of our hearts, because the veil has already been torn. We thank you for that. We thank you for healing in this place. We thank you for deliverance in this place. We thank you for breakthrough in this place, and for those persons and places that we're standing for, God. Only you, Lord, can see us through, and only you can bring breakthrough. Use us, Lord, as we rely on you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Holy One. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. One of our words that we use to describe all that's happening inside of us usually is, how are we feeling? And so this morning, I just would love to hear how you're feeling this morning. How are you feeling? Do you sense? Do you feel? Are you connecting in with the presence and the power of our Most High God, if you're sensing or feeling or believing that there's breakthrough on any level at all for you, you personally right now, maybe it's for belief for something beyond yourself. Maybe it's for yourself, and maybe that's beyond yourself too. But you're sensing, God, I'm connecting in that realm, that dimension of believing you and trusting you and believing that you are the Lion of Judah of my life. If you're sensing that there's an increase this morning for you, can we just give a big yay and shout for Jesus? If that's true, just say, yes, Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We bless you. We give you the credit, the praise, and the glory. So we thank God for your lives. Thank you, Jesus. Pastor Bill's going to say something, I imagine, about Revived Stark. And last night, he gave an amazingly wonderful, empowering, and invigorating message ongoing. It was really great. And he'll share what he wants to share. But thank you for those who were able to be out and about in that realm yesterday. So praise the Lord. When the kiddos come out, they're going to be watching Magdalena, and when they come out, when we're finished, then we're just going to pray over them. And this is the beginning of many things for people this week. And at the end of the week, we have Green Light Mission, so we're very excited about that, what God wants to do in the lives of many people, not just our little ones, but also the ones that they're going to be connecting with and how they're just being churned, you know, inside. This is so good. So the Lord's continuing his fiery love inside of our little ones. So I'm blessed. Very encouraged by that. Troy has something.
Amen. So obviously very excited about the Green Light Missions trip this weekend. And then a number of you said you'd like to help in different ways. If you could reach out to Rachel specifically on that. One of the things I know is I think it's going to be Thursday evening. We'd like to send a group of people down to Sherrick Road and Highland Park and down into that area to just hand out flyers about the outreach that's going to be in the park right there. So we're really going to need some help with that because obviously we're working on a lot of stuff to get it ready there at the house and stuff. So if you're able to help, I think it's going to be Thursday night, maybe Wednesday. If you're free either or both of those nights, just text Rachel that and let me know. And then obviously, or not obviously, but just a reminder that next week church is going to be at our house. So it's going to be mobile church next week. So it's that will be fun, but we don't have enough chairs for you. So I would recommend if you could bring a lawn chair or something to sit in. It'll at the moment, unless it's raining, it's going to be outside. So we'll probably have it outside in the shaded area of the yard. So there'll be grass. So, but if you have lawn chairs and or blankets or whatever you want to sit and stuff. And then we're planning to just have a family lunch afterwards. So if you'd like to bring a dish to share afterwards, that would be great. And I just have a sign-up sheet that I'll put in the back, or should I pass it or just put it in the back there? Put it in the back. If you could just kind of just throw in there, like I'm thinking of bringing potato salad or something so we don't get five people bringing potato salad and that's it. That's all we have. But yeah, so that'll be next week at our house. The address is on the paper and should be a great time. And again, really be praying for the mission trip this next week and just everything involved. They've got a lot that they're going to be doing, but also what the Lord's going to do in their hearts. But they're going to be reaching out. And then if you're like, man, I want to help somehow, how can I help? Text Rachel or talk to Rachel, and she's got plenty of ideas for you. So,
yesterday, a couple of reach outs to the communities and sharing the gospel with people one-on-one or sometimes in a small group. Bringing Jesus to those areas. Obviously, most people probably won't connect here from there, but they may connect in those places in Alliance and Louisville and so on. What I was the most excited about, probably even more than the outreach, was, well, maybe not, but just hearing back what they thought of frontline people there. I was so proud of you guys because every person apparently that met you felt that the Lord was leading you in the Holy Spirit and so on. and they felt that they were learning as they were going out with frontline people. So I really appreciate those that turned out for that, and that you were such a servant influence, such a prophetic influence, such a loving influence in your groups. Many of us, let others lead the group, and that we were just a participant in the group. And it spoke a lot to them, especially when we prayed for some reason. Every time it seems that someone from frontline was praying in a group, people noticed the difference. So what would be the difference over some of the people from here praying with people from other churches? They noticed it. Well, maybe we'll talk about that this morning a little bit. What might be happening there? It's not a comparison thing. It's not a comparison thing. When Paul, Barnabas, those guys came into town, there were believers often, but they noticed something in them, and they learned from them. So many of you were teachers there in those groups, whether you knew it or not. You were examples. You were showing the way without being pushy, without being, I have to be the leader, because I've had these experiences overseas. I've had these experiences on the streets. And many of the people going had never been on the streets doing anything like that. So I'm just proud of the way that you conducted yourselves, like Jesus. Like Jesus. He could walk around humbly and people would pop out of the graves. And I appreciate the way that we were thought of there, because that's hard to do. You come in, you've been on a number of missions, you've done a lot of things, and you're with some folks that are doing this for the first time. I think we were a great encouragement. I know I was greatly encouraged by some of them as well, some of their experiences. They're learning from Holy Spirit as well, not just, you know, our example coming in or someone else's example coming in. They are learning from Holy Spirit, and they were sharing that as we were going in the groups. I'm sure you noticed that in your groups. There was a lot said about God speaking to them, God's ability to prophetically speak to us so that we can speak life into other people. And I was encouraged by that, because many of them are from denominational type situations, but something's changing. God is preparing the church for the unleashing of the gospel here in Ohio and other places around the world. You can tell the church is different. And all you hear in the news is how the numbers are going down. But what if they're going down to the remnant that will change the world? What if, you know, the flim-flam is being flopped out of the church? I don't know how that works. Don't quote me on that, please. But what if he's purifying his church in the last days? I want to be one of those that are still standing, so to speak, and preaching the gospel and probably getting more persecution than what we ever would want. But I don't know. I just was beaming with joy as people came up and said, you know, that person in my group, the way they prayed, the way they ministered to people, they heard from the Lord. They were walking with the Holy Spirit. I want to learn more about that. There were two women afterwards, after most people left, and, you know, we have the lingering anointing anyway. I told the people that were shutting things down, I said, well, we just have the lingering anointing. Just give us a minute. But there were a couple of women that were facing some family things, and I had a chance to really encourage them and let them know, you spoke out a testimony about Holy Spirit from the front. It touched people's hearts. You thought you were fumbling over your words, but we heard in our hearts and in our spirits the Holy Spirit speaking through you. So you were an encouragement. And the woman was a little bit amazed, because all she heard was her own voice, and she was in fear as she was standing up to give a testimony. But it touched a lot of hearts. So it's fun to be Barnabases and Barnabanesses, you know, in a new environment, and connect with some people across the church, as we've been trying to do for years with People's Baptist and Canton and other places. By the way, the picnic this year, I think, is not going to happen with People's Baptist because the guy that normally leads it has had some health problems. So pray for Deacon Dan. Many of you met him before down at People's Baptist. I think he's had a number of health issues, and so we need to lift him up. In fact, we'll do it right now. Father, we pray for Deacon Dan, God, at People's Baptist, and also for Pastor Arrington and his wife. Father, we thank you, Lord, God, that we know them. They're still connected in heart, even though it looks like we won't be doing an outreach down there or taking the church down to attend their service this year, God. We pray, Lord, that you would bless them. They've had some physical things happen this past year, God. Pastor Arrington with an appendicitis attack and appendectomy and all different kinds of things in that body. We lift them up. We pray healing upon them. We pray Jehovah Rapha oil all over them, God, in a special way. And thank you for the relationship with them, that it's ongoing. We pray that we wouldn't just let it fall to the side. It's an important relationship. We want to keep going. And we give you all the praise, Lord. We give you all the honor in Jesus' name. Well, if you want to go out and be part of the weekend in Louisville, you have one last opportunity. They have a training from about 1 to 2, but it probably will be about 20 till 2 that they'll actually choose teams and go out. So you could become part of a team even if you missed the training and just go out on a team this afternoon from 2 to 5. And then I think it's 6 is the concert at the Civic Center if you want to be part of that. It's billed as a celebration of everything that's happened this weekend. Building 429 is one of the groups there that's going to be there. Is it 7? Okay, doors open at 6. I guess the concert's at 7. Yeah, those that go on outreach, they're offering a pass for you to go and spend some time with the group in the back room, whatever, building 429, a meet and greet with that group. If you go out on outreach, they'll give a pass, I think, this afternoon for if you want to do that type of thing, meet the group that's going to be on stage. But there's going to be other things. Carly has put up posters, or we have announcements or something on that, right? For the concert tonight.
Oh.
All right. Well, we have information somewhere. I have some information. Looks like this.
I guess I can.
There's flyers out there. Or something. Sorry.
That's okay. If you go on the outreach today from 2 to 5, you have a fun opportunity at 5:30 to go to the Canton Civic Center early and do a meet and greet with Building 429, which is the main worship band that's going to be there tonight. So they've made themselves available specifically to meet with those that go to join and be part of the outreach today. And then doors open at 6 o'clock and for everyone else, and the concert starts at 7. So that's the information I have on that. The other information that I have is for our Relentless Pursuit Conference, October 4th through the 7th. We've got our flyers still being cut as we speak, but I know some of we gave you guys like a preview last week, but these are ones that you can take and hand out to people. So we'll hand those out, and then we also have our flyers for Seismic Young Adult Weekend, October 26th through the 28th. It's at a new camp this year called Canaan Acres, which is interestingly in Louisville. So we've been taking these out on our Revive Stark outreaches, and as we've encountered young adults in that region, we've also been able to invite them to Seismic. So definitely the Holy Spirit, we've felt a connection led us to going to this new camp, and then with Revive Stark also being in Louisville, just a fun way for, God to connect more young adults in. And so we encourage you to take these as well. We've got plenty of them. Feel free to start handing them out to the young adults that you know, high school, college, a bit above college, are all welcome to come to it, and all the information's on here. And then we also have the larger flyers for hanging up places. So if you know of some place that has a bulletin board that you can hang one of these up, that would be wonderful also. So we will pass some of these things out. These I'll just put out in the table in the back. And if you know of some place you can hang them, then feel free to grab some.
Well, Father, we thank you, Lord, that our kids will be out on green light mission next weekend. Not just having a play date. They're going to take you out to the community, Father. They're going to go out and do their mission. Stay in tents, worship together, and go out and give the gospel to people in neighborhoods and the poor. Father, we thank you, God, that many of them are extremely excited about it because they've seen us do it. And some of them came this weekend, Lord. Thank you, God, that our little guys are being raised up to be mighty warriors for you. And they already are. They have no junior Holy Spirit. They have the Holy Spirit living inside of them. And they operate in that, God. We thank you for that. They worship you with their hearts. They tell other people about Jesus. They sing worship unto you, and they love it. And they dance before you, God. Thank you. You did that. You did that in them. You're drawing them like little Samuel, Father, that heard from the Lord. Thank you, God. They're hearing from you. Raise them up. And Father, for this morning, we pray, God, that you would speak beyond the message, speak beyond the person speaking. We need you, Holy Spirit, to teach us. We need you, Holy Spirit, to empower us. We need you, Holy Spirit, to anoint us. And these aren't just phrases. We want them to be reality and encounter and experience in our lives. We want testimonies of your work in us, God. We don't just want to blah, 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 blah. God, we want you to be real for us. And we know you want that more than us. And you will do it. You will do it as we connect our hearts with you. As we sincerely want to follow you. So, Father, I pray this morning would not be blah, 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 blah. Or deaf ears, God. Either way, not blah, blah from me or deaf ears from anyone listening, including me. Jesus, encounter us today. Attack our complacency, if there is any. Attack our compromise, if there is any, God. Come in and rearrange the furniture inside of our heart that is welcoming you into the living room, the bedroom, into every room of our house, God. The family room. Jesus, come on in. Move things around. Rearrange in us. And give us hearts for you that are blazing on fire. We give you praise in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. When the kids come out. So, this should be an easy question. I asked it last night in Louisville. What's Jesus' favorite two-letter word? Go, I heard it somewhere. Was that you? But you were there last night. Did you know it last night when I asked that question? Okay, all right. Okay, not too hard of a question. There won't be real hard ones today. It's August and the heat and all of that. But we do have a quote, hopefully a quote. Go into his powerful presence to soak, Psalm 46:10, and receive, Acts 1:8. Then go into a needy world to serve, Mark 10:45. Who's the subject of the servant in Mark 10:45? Gonna have to speak up. There's fans going. Who's the subject of being the servant in Mark 10:45? Jesus. So he's set the course, set the way for us. So do we have those scriptures then that, or, yeah, look at that. So Psalm 46:10, again, go into his powerful presence, to soak in his presence, to spend time with him, to be still and know that he is God, to be, let him be exalted in the nations and exalted in the earth. If we're still and we soak in his presence and we're in touch with Holy Spirit in a very intimate way, in that verse, he'll be exalted in the nations. It can't be stopped, the encounter that we have with God on the inside. Acts 1:8, this is the receive part of the quote. Go into his powerful presence to soak and receive. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. When they were at 120 in the upper room, they were confused, disappointed, disillusioned, afraid, wondering what was going to happen. They gathered together because they were told to do that when Jesus left. But they didn't have a clue what was going on, really. They just started to pray. And you know what happened? The Holy Spirit fell, and within a very short amount of time, they're hitting the streets and hitting the streets, hitting the streets. And 3,000 come to the Lord in one day. Now think of that. They went from 120 to 3,000. That's multiplication. That's what God can do. We need to be expectant like that. They weren't even that expectant, I don't think. I think they were praying. But their leader had just left and gone to heaven and said, "Lo, I will be with you always. And oh, by the way, I'm going to send a friend. I'm going to send a comforter." And what's that? They're sending me a, Jesus is sending me a blanket? Comforter? I don't get it. What is going on? Well, how could he leave? We didn't get it when he was here, and now he's leaving? But he said he would send the Holy Spirit, who would remind them of the things Jesus taught them. I'll send you someone that you will do the greater works through him. I'm going to go, and you're going to do greater works. How is that possible to do greater works than Jesus? Because he was one person. He limited himself to serve, which is the next verse, but he limited himself in one human body. And he didn't travel much of a radius from where he was born. But when the Holy Spirit fell, it filled all of us as well. Those of us that know him and know the Holy Spirit filled us. And so we are spreading out and have been for centuries all over the earth and doing, hopefully, many people, the things that Jesus wanted us to do. Save, heal, deliver, preach, make disciples. So if this morning you're thinking, well, yeah, he says go, and I want to do that, and I kind of want to, and yeah, or some of you might say, yes, I'm going to go more and more and more. That's what I'm going to do. I've decided. I remember early in my Christian life, I was with a group, and they were all about going. Man, we hit the dorm rooms. We hit the married housing apartments. We went everywhere. We started Bible studies and all kinds of things. I was just learning from them. And they were all about the going. I don't remember hearing anything about Holy Spirit. It was mainly what we could do to commit to what Jesus told us to do, to obey what Jesus told us to do. Not bad things. But I'm telling you this today, and if you hear nothing else, hear this statement. You can desire to go. You can commit to go. You can want to go. You can get kind of jazzed up to go. But you won't have the power to go unless you have an intimacy with Holy Spirit. You'll fizzle out. You'll quit. Many of the guys that I knew back then fizzled out. They never tapped into the power that carries us to the finish line. They never tapped into the power that really changes people's lives. And so last night I was telling them, You know, in Louisville, we're children. We need to admit it, that we need everything from Holy Spirit to even speak to someone, one individual on the streets. We need to depend on Him. It doesn't matter how many times we've been out there, how many times we've been to a nation around the world, makes no difference. The experience is okay, but I would rather be led moment by moment by Holy Spirit, because every person has a unique story in front of you. Every place we go is a brand new experience. When we go to a country even that we've been to many times, like India, I mean, unpredictable what will happen there. We need to be prepared in Holy Spirit, not prepared in some mission experience that we have. Oh, I've taken 22 trips. That means nothing on this trip unless we're led by Holy Spirit. Amen? Some of you are really thinking this through today. A lot of serious faces out there. Just keep in mind, it's better to go in joy, strength of the Lord, than serious faces. But it's okay to be sober as well at times. So I put out something monthly. It's called Frontline Global Partner. We ask people for partnership with Frontline to do things around the world. So this month, it was on this powerful two-letter word. So I'll just read a couple paragraphs from this. One of the most powerful words in the Bible has only two letters. When this command is spoken by our Lord and obeyed by us, individual people's lives are transformed. Families' destinies are fulfilled. Communities are reached with good news. Nations are won for His kingdom. This short, simple word is go. Read through the New Testament, taking note of all the instances when the word go is used in a highly significant way. In so many instances, each of us is compelled to obey Jesus, who always was and is the supreme example of the one who obeyed His Father by going. He left the amazing atmosphere of heaven to come to earth in human form. He charged into the middle of the religious and political firestorm to bring the dead to life and light into the darkness. He taught, He healed, He delivered, He suffered, He died, He arose from the dead, He ascended back to heaven. Every time He was obeying the Father's will for Him to go. So Mark 10:45, if we can have that back up, Rach. Yeah, Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give His life a ransom for many. So, of course, Jesus calls us to all these things. He showed us the way and set the pace. Matthew 18:11. Let's take a look. Matthew 18:11. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. He came to serve. He came to save. We've heard this, but He's the example of us to do the same thing. We've heard that as well. But if we do it in the power of the Holy Spirit, it's a completely different thing. It was even noticed in Louisville this weekend. We don't sit around saying, you know, Frontline is the greatest, the Frontline's this, Frontline's that. But we have been going after Holy Spirit and going to the nations and going to the streets for some time. And it makes a difference when you're around people that need that, want that, that have that desire. And they notice that light in Louisville that we brought in, because we've been serving, we've been trying to learn from Holy Spirit and grow in Him. So, in 11, for the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. So He came, but He was sent. And He went. He listened to the go of His Father, and He came to earth. Take a look at John 3:17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. You might remember John 3:16 is just above this, but Jesus was sent. He had to go. And then he came and told us to do the same. I'm sending you. Go. And we have a response to give to him. Yes, Lord. I will go. I'll go beyond my boundaries. I'll go beyond my schedule. I'll go beyond my comfort zone. I'll go beyond what is convenient. It wouldn't be convenient to go today to Louisville because many of us were there yesterday, and it wouldn't be convenient because it's Sunday afternoon, and then there's a concert tonight, and then, you know, it wouldn't be convenient to throw our schedule out in order to do that. Some of you may change plans to go this afternoon. Some may keep plans to go this afternoon, but wherever you go this afternoon, go to touch somebody in front of you with Jesus. You can be at family events and touch people with Jesus. You can be at dollar stores, we heard this morning, on the worship team. Someone didn't go yesterday, but they ministered to someone at dollar store or Family Dollar, one of those dollar places. Wherever we go, whoever's in front of us, stop for the one, as we've heard before. And Jesus was sent, and he responded to the call to go, and he went back. He responded to the go back to heaven. It was time to release the Holy Spirit into the church. And he listened to that go, and he went back to heaven to be with the Father. John 14:12, a few pages over. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Because I go to the Father, we're going to do greater works? That's right. The Holy Spirit has come to live inside the temples. That's us. He wanted to do that, to empower us to go, to share Jesus everywhere we go. So Jesus didn't, with the disciples, he didn't live inside of them. And so he said, I've got to go. I can send the Holy Spirit to live right inside of them. Peter needed that, didn't he? It was either for Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, or you're the rock. He was like many of us, right? Sometimes we're the rock. We're giving the testimony of Jesus, which is the foundation of everything that we want to share with people spiritually. And other times, we're against God's plan, coming up with our own ideas. What changes that for Peter? The empowering of the Holy Spirit. He didn't do it perfectly then, but it was a whole lot more on target. He was the one that preached the message that brought 3,000 in one day. Interesting. The one who betrayed like Judas, but was restored. He's the one that gets to preach to 3,000. Feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. Oh, by the way, you get the privilege of having the first outreach under the power of the Holy Spirit. Peter, the restored one, the one that betrayed me three times. But I forgave you. I restored you. I brought you in. I gave your ministry back to you. Then I gave you the Holy Spirit to have it be a powerful ministry, not just a ministry that you try to obey in your own strength. I will do it. I will do it. I will stay on the line. I won't fall off the tightrope. I won't. I won't. Oh, I did again. Oh, I won't. I won't. Oh, I did again. Oh, I won't. We don't want that to be our entire experience. The only one that can help us keep the commands of Jesus, which I gave a message a few years ago about how many commands there are of Jesus. How in the world could we keep all those commands? We can't. Unless we are listening and following and being empowered by the Holy Spirit and letting him lead us, guide us, and so on. So when Jesus was on the earth, of course, he told the disciples in Matthew 16, 15 through 20, go preach. Let's take a look. Oop. Mark 16, 15 through 20. Let's take a look at it fresh. Some of you know this passage. Mark used to be in my Bible. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. A lot in there. Deliverance, healing, preaching. Go into all the world. So he says, go. He told all the disciples, go. And many of them did go, fearful as they were. But fortunately, early on, he gave them the Holy Spirit to empower their going. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Many of you know this passage even better than the Mark passage. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He is with us always through the Holy Spirit inside of us. He gives us this authority, then he has to back it up with the power to use it. And he says, go, and go make disciples. Don't just make converts, make people that are going to be followers of me. Luke 4, 18 and 19. Some of you might know this verse, since it's the founding verses of this ministry. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. This is Jesus reading this, saying he's the fulfillment of it. But to his disciples, it is our call. We have the same call as Jesus. He never said, oh, by the way, let me write up your call. It's different than my call. He was called to die on a cross for the sins of the world. We're called to die in order that we can share that message that he paid for on the cross. We are to be anointed by him, preach the gospel to the poor. We're to heal the brokenhearted. We're to bring liberty to the captives. We're to bring recovery of sight to the blind. We are to set at liberty those who are oppressed and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Some of those people were on the streets yesterday. Some of them were in the villages and places in Mozambique a month ago. Some of them are out there today wherever you go. They'll be there. And they're going to share the tip of their heart, and it's up to you to recognize it through Holy Spirit. Ask maybe a question. Offer some comfort, encouragement, a prayer. Speak life into them. The person right in front of you. And then the Holy Spirit will empower you to do these very things. And at the end of that encounter, you'll say, gee, doesn't seem like much happened here today. Sometimes that's the way you feel. But you go back and you read this list. There's a variety of things here that when we go will happen with people. And often it's just a little seed. It's just a little seed. But who multiplies seeds? Jesus. You put it in his hand, it can't help but be multiplied. You put bread in his hand, multiplied. You put a little boy's lunch in his hand, multiplied. You put the seed of the little mustard seed of faith you have in his hands. I've never been able to get that mustard seed to grow on my own. I've tried to water it, fertilize it, speak to it. Grow, faith, grow. Come on, faith, let's go. And it just never works for me. But when I think of putting it into the hand of Jesus and him multiplying the faith within me by his 700 names and titles activated through me in Holy Spirit, that's a different ball game. Things start coming out of me that are life to people. Life. It's awesome. You feel like I'm not on fire. He's on fire inside of me. And I have to share him. Because he's multiplied it inside of me. So those of us that are thinking, I have to be on fire. How come I'm not on fire? I need to be more on fire. I need to be on fire for God. What's wrong with me? And then, you know, it fades and you're talking to God about it. And then somebody will give a message. Oh, man, I need to be on fire. I need to be on fire. Or you'll read a scripture. I need to be. We have to press in. You know. We have to press into the Spirit of God. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Do you catch that first phrase? Don't rebuy it. Don't go buy it so quickly. The only reason that we can do any of these things or be close to the Lord is through the Spirit of God. And he's constantly drawing you into a close encounter with him. Come, come, come. You can encounter me any moment, any moment. It doesn't have to be when the music's here. It doesn't have to be when there's a call from the front. You can come into a closer relationship with me right now, right now. Just close your eyes for a second and receive more of me. Just enter in for a second and let me be part of what you're doing today, what you're thinking right now. Let me purify your thoughts. Let me come into you and be so close to you that I can cure the tiredness inside of you. I can cure whatever is ailing you in your life, whether it's circumstances, whether it's lack, whether you think you've failed, whether you think there are no extra steps you can take to get close to God, he will come in and wash all that junk away. And he'll draw you into that intimacy again. And then he'll set you on fire. You can't set yourself on fire. You can only cooperate with the igniter. You can only cooperate with the igniter. You can't set yourself on fire. And when you do, look out. Because there's going to be things coming out of your mouth. Like last night when I spoke in Louisville, what came out of my mouth, I was sitting there going, oh, this is holy ground. I didn't put that in my notes. Where'd that come from? Oh, it's you. It's you. You're teaching me while I'm trying to. That's why I say often at the start of it, messages, things I say to people. I want you to get something past what I'm telling you. And you will if you tune in the Holy Spirit. He'll multiply my little seed of what I tell you into a life change. Into fire that you've been wanting. Into a closeness with the Holy Spirit you've been wanting. He'll refresh you while you're sitting right there in your seat. I don't care how hot it is. I don't care what month it is. I don't care how cold it is. Those things won't matter. You can tune in so close to him just sitting there. Just sitting there. And let whatever seed is thrown out there be multiplied in you to that closeness, that intimacy with him, and that fire to go out for him. So the disciples were ordered to preach, commanded to preach, make disciples. Matthew 10, 1 through 8. Let's take a quick look at this. Matthew 10, 1 and 8. Sorry, not 1 through 8. Helps if you're in the right chapter. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. In Matthew 9, he modeled it. In Matthew 10, he says, go out and do it. I'm giving you power over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Now, when he says, I'm giving you power, he's speaking it here, and it came into full existence when the Holy Spirit fell. So you might say today, Jesus, give me more power. And you don't feel anything happen. But you spoke it into existence because it's in line with God's will. And you will receive more power if you keep believing that you spoke that into existence. Then the Holy Spirit is going to give you more power whether you feel like it today or not. And the next time you speak to someone, things will come out of your mouth and you're like, I didn't think of that. I didn't come up with that. Where'd it come from? That came out so fast that it didn't even go through the brain. Awesome. I love when that happens. He says, you'll stand before kings and authorities, and I will put in your mouth what they need to hear. It happened to Paul. It happened to Jesus. It's going to happen to us. Some of us will be before authorities, maybe not in a good way. Not a traffic ticket, but because we're preaching the gospel, and they, you know, the authorities have decided that's against the law. What if they pass that in Ohio? What are you going to do? You're going to need the fire of the Holy Spirit to carry you through that kind of situation. But in the last days, there's going to be something come like that, and it's coming. We keep getting, you know, things of legislation. Amanda's sending some things out. Some other people sending things out. The things they're trying to pass in these, especially liberal states. Whoa! They're trying to hammer Christians. But the answer is, you know, not getting mad about it. It's letting the Holy Spirit put us on in such fire that those authorities will stand before them and give them such truth that the witness for Jesus will go out so strongly they may have to do something special for us. Really up the persecution. Or release us. You know, sometimes one way, sometimes another way. Could be, you know, you ready to be a martyr in the last days? Maybe we should be ready. May not happen to us, but we should be ready because the persecution is going to increase. The going is going to increase. The nations are going to come in, but things are going to get darker. All of it. We don't know which side of it is going to touch us individually or as a body of believers going out into the nations. Be ready for anything. The only way to be ready is intimacy with Holy Spirit, letting Him fill us up. Verse 8, Matthew 10, heal the sick. That's a command. Cleanse the lepers. That's a command. Raise the dead. That's a command. Cast out demons. That's a command. Freely you have received, freely give. How many in here have ever prayed for a leper? Look around. It's kind of amazing. Wow. Look at that. Raise them up high. I want to see this. Wow. How many in here have ever been part of the casting out of a demon? Wow. Now, is this a weird kind of thing? Like, or is it, Jesus, you have the power to help this person in front of me. You have the power to release them. Demonic presence, you need to go. Demon, you need to go. Go. Don't talk through them. Go. Simple. Because if we have the authority, they're going to go because of the Holy Spirit in us, not because we shout and jump and dance and kick them. And It's heartbreaking when you see someone overcome by demons in Africa or anywhere else in the world. Heartbreaking. If you haven't had that experience, don't think, well, I couldn't raise my hand. It could be in this building. It's happened in this building before that we've prayed for people to be released. And it's not so we look like a powerful ministry. Please. Please. It's so they're released. That was Jesus' compassion. So they're released. And we need his teaching how to do that. We need his power in order to help a person. His compassion. How many have ever prayed for a sick person? Yeah. How many have prayed for yourself because you were sick? Okay, you prayed for a sick person. Now, come on. I'm telling you, you go places, you're not going to see hands like this. Thank you, Jesus, that we're out there trying it. We're stepping into it. And the more we do it, the more we realize, I'm not qualified. Bill's not qualified. What qualifies me? Letting the Holy Spirit do it through me. Because I have no power to help anybody. None. Zero. I can do nothing, it says in the Bible. Nothing. That's kind of starting at zero or negative numbers. But what can he do through us? All things are possible. Wow. I'm going to go with that. And I'm going to go more with that. I'm going to go more with that. By receiving his power more. That's not because I'm going to do it. I'm going to go more. I'm going to be more. I'm going to receive. I'm going to ask. I'm going to come to him and say, I'm weak. I admit it. I'm weak. I'm weak. Can you hear me, God? And he's going to fill me up with strength to be in the most uncomfortable situations. Before a judge, before a king, before someone that just has so many problems, I don't even know where to start. And he's going to empower each of us to see life come to them. Turnaround, breakthrough. Do you think it's going to be just like it is right now, that we have the breakthroughs in healing that we have right now? No, it has to increase. Has to. That's the way God is. Always increasing. We've got to get on that train. Got to jump on that car, be in the first in line, because people are more and more and more needy, don't you think? Just look at Facebook. Read it with as if you were a minister for Jesus Christ, which you are. I'm a minister for Jesus Christ. I'm going to read Facebook with that thought. And you will see different things than you see when you look at them as your friend or your acquaintance, or they're on your list, or they're in, they're out, they're the other, whatever. If you look at them as, how can I help this person? You're going to see different things in their posts. The needs that they throw on there, just like it's nothing. The language that they use, that they would never use if they were sitting here. But they think they're anonymous. It's because it's on the tip of their heart, their anger, their offense, their difficulties in life, their feeling like they're overwhelmed. And we are the ones that can minister to them. We are the ones that are filled with life through Holy Spirit. We just need to soak in him. We need to receive his power. We need to be close with him so we can hear his voice. And wow, the person in front of us can be transformed, whether it looks like it or not. The seed's in there, it'll multiply, and they could win Zimbabwe. You believe it? Come on. So, he said you need to preach, make disciples, heal, deliver. And then he went out among the people. And this is what he did to the leper. The leper was told, go your way, show yourself to the priest. He told the ones healed many times, go. Why didn't he say, follow me? Some of them he told, go, when they wanted to follow him. No, you go. Go tell your family. Go to the priest. Go over here. Go over there. Don't, in a sense, don't follow me. What's going on there? Other people he told, follow me. And then he told them later, go preach. Go. Many of the disciples, he said, follow me. To a lot of the people he healed, he said, go. This is what I think. This is what gets me going. He told them to go because he knew they would follow him after their amazing encounter with him one time. One time. Think how many times you've encountered Jesus. Salvation. Maybe you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Maybe there was something special that happened at your water baptism. Maybe there was something special in a commissioning. Maybe there was something special when you came up for healing. Maybe you just wanted more of God and you came up in a line and someone prayed for you and you hit the deck, you hit the floor under the power of the Holy Spirit. There could have been many encounters. And then you're in the Word, you encounter Him. You're soaking and you encounter Him. You've had many, 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 many. I have had many, 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 many encounters with Jesus. They had one. And he said, go. It's all you need. One encounter can turn you into a follower of mine. I don't even have to follow up on you. You're going to take this healing, Mr. Leper, and you're going to tell everybody about me. Now, to the woman at the well, it was interesting. He said, go call your husband. And she was like, well. And then he prophetically told her, you've had so many husbands, and the one you're living with is not your husband. Whoa, this guy knows me. But she ends up going to her village and telling the villagers, go see this guy. Go see the Messiah. Have I found him? Is he here? Come. Come on. You see, the encounter with Jesus that she had was so powerful, he didn't even have to tell her to go. She just had to go. And guess what? Most of the villagers knew who she was because most of them were a husband at one time of hers. Or, relatives and children maybe and all kinds of people back at the village. Oh, yeah, we know her. Oh, yeah, she's in our family. No, she's in our family. And so why would they come? Because she was on fire. They could have just dismissed her. Man, you don't even know who to marry. Why should we listen to you? But no, she came with such fire, such glow, something happened to her. She had been with Jesus. One encounter, and all these villagers follow her to come and see Jesus, and he hangs around there for a couple days. And you can imagine the disciples, when we going back to the big city? There's nothing to eat here. They have no Starbucks. And Jesus didn't care about those things. He cared about one woman, and it transformed a whole village. So to the centurion, he was told, go your way, and as you have believed, let it be done for you. Go your way. You've believed that person, that servant's going to be healed back at your house. Let it be done unto you. And when he gets there, of course, servant's going to be healed. And what's going to be done unto him? What's going to be done unto him? Anything in his life is going to be transformed. It's going to be done unto you, centurion. Not just your servant being healed. You go, and everything's changed because you've encountered me.
how much have we valued the encounters with Jesus that we have had. Many more than these people, and he sent them away to minister and tell their family members and friends and everybody on their Facebook account and everyone on their Twitter account. Only it was a little better than, you know, the president and his tweeting. But they did. He just sent them. One encounter. The paralytic on the bed was told, arise, take up your bed, go to your house. What do you think is going to happen when he gets to his house? He's going to put his bed in place and everything. Go out. I can walk. I can walk. Look, I carried my own bed back home. Tell his neighbors, tell his friends. Jesus, one encounter. Boom. He's changed for life. No follow-up. That's crazy. That's nuts. No follow-up? Didn't need it. He had encountered the living God, the Holy Spirit, I'm sure. When he fell, these people were part of it. They were part of it. It was passed on to them. Jesus wouldn't leave them without the Holy Spirit when he fell, when he healed them and told them to go. They got further filling. We just don't know their stories. You know, the Bible is not the complete account of everything that happened with Jesus. It said if you filled, or if you wrote out everything he did, everything that happened, it would fill more books than, I don't know, fills the world or something. It was some crazy thing. Well, of course, because he multiplies everything. The Bible is just the seed. It gets multiplied. Some people look at it and go, okay, Acts was the highlight. No, Acts is not the highest point of the church. Now is. I said now is, because we're going to usher in the return of the Lord. What in the world does that mean? We're going to be washed and be unstained as the church somehow, some way. You look out there and you go, how is that going to happen? But somehow, some way that's going to happen. We're going to be empowered through the Holy Spirit to take the gospel to every place that he wants it taken before he returns. What? Yep, that's the plan. And you go out there and you go, really? How is that going to happen? The impossible made possible by the power of the Holy Spirit. If nothing makes you believe the power of the Holy Spirit, it's what he says is going to happen. That could not happen with the people I know. Not just in this body, everywhere. With me. It couldn't happen with me. How are you going to do it, God? The impossible made possible. It's going to take the Holy Spirit, so I need to know who he is much more intimately. To the blind man, go your way. To the sinful woman, go in peace. To the woman healed of the issue of blood, who is shaking in her boots, coming to Jesus to let him know she touched the hem of his garment. In her mind, disrespect. He says, go in peace. You did the right thing. You came close to my heart. Go in peace. To the woman caught in adultery, she was commanded to go and sin no more. What? How do you do that? All she's ever known is a life that offended everyone back in that day. How is she going to go and sin no more? She had an encounter with Jesus. And that would changed her life. And he said, go. And so who is she going to go to? She's going to go to the places that other people would not have any idea about. She would go to the trafficked people. She would go to the prostitutes. She would know them. And she could go to that segment of society and minister to them. And when the Holy Spirit fell, she'd have extra power to go do that and be like, wow. He does give good gifts. The Father gives such good gifts. First, he gives me the gift of forgiveness. And I am told to go. And I kind of fumble around and try to tell my friends and everything. Then the Holy Spirit fell. And I had the power to do that. The woman at the well, we said, go call your husband. And she ends up calling her friends. Calling her, the people in her village. Jesus told so many to go instead of follow me. He knew that after one encounter with one, the one, with 700 names and titles that could activate in their life, the person would never be the same and would follow him, telling others to do the same. When Jesus came up to the two demon-possessed men, he just said to the demons, go. There's power behind the word go. We should say it to one another. Well, I'm not sure I should go on a 3-week mission trip. You know, I'm not sure God is leading me. Go. Why? What's 3 weeks going to make any difference in your whole life story other than maybe you'll get close to the Holy Spirit and be able to share Jesus with so many others? Obviously, you don't go on every mission trip that we have, you know, on the docket. But the idea is generally go. Generally, yes, I'm ready. Holy Spirit, should I go on this trip, this trip, this trip? He'll probably have you go on more than what you'd ever imagine. And work out the details. Work out the work details, right? How many have ever had a miracle with going on a mission trip that had something to do with work or school or whatever? God turned some impossible situation around so that you could go. And some of you will think of that after the message is done, that that did happen to you in some way, shape, or form. But there were a few hands up about that situation. He does care to empower us in these things. And he's not holding it back. We can connect with him out in our car, leaving here. Holy Spirit, I need more of your presence, more of your peace. Keep your eyes open, though, while you're driving. And he will fill you up wherever you are. He might fill you up in a little measure in your car, and you get home, you go, you know, I'm going to take a few minutes. I don't believe the Browns are going to be any better this year. Okay, so I'm going to take my afternoon, and I'm going to spend a little more time with Jesus. And boom, you know, he meets with you. Or you watch the game, and then after the game, you meet with Jesus. And you get with Holy Spirit, and you say, I need more of you. I need more of you. When was the last time you told God that? It's such a phrase that we can say it over and over again and be rote, or we can say it with a fresh new desire and he will fill it. Rote religion doesn't get the same result, does it? Well, I'm not getting anything from God. I've asked him a million times. If you're saying that, then that's an impossibility. A million times? There's got to be one time in there where you had the right heart, the master of his heart, that it released something to you. Maybe you weren't ready to receive it. It's possible. For each of us, we all need more of him. And we need to go in his power, soak in his presence, and then go in his power. Father, we thank you, Jesus. We love it that in this season we are continuing to go. We're not stopping. We're not leveling out, Jesus, and it's because of you. You won't let us. You've given us the commands. We take them seriously. And Lord, sometimes we're good at it. Sometimes we're not so good at it. But overall, you're continuing to press that go in our hearts. And we open up our eyes and there's someone in front of us that needs you, needs ministry, needs healing, needs deliverance, needs salvation, needs more of your word, needs hope, needs compassion. Jesus, you have it all for us. Our compassion is so little. We need Holy Spirit compassion. Our forgiveness is so little. We need Holy Spirit forgiveness. Our love is so little. But Holy Spirit love will transform people. God, help us to experience what this is all about. And let this be a seed that grows in each person, including myself, to the maximum, God. To the maximum. It's you. It's about you valuing those encounters we've had with you and then going, not holding back, not sitting down, but going, not leveling out, not becoming comfortable, doing only the convenient. God, we have to press into your heart to have your heart. Transform our hearts, God. We love it when you do, and you love to do it. Jesus, we call on you to put the go in our hearts, backed up by your power, by your presence. It's the only thing that works. It's the only thing that lasts. We love it, Jesus. We give you honor in Jesus' name. Amen.